perfect. And I always knew that God or the universe or something, somewhere was leading me at every moment of my life. And I want to pick one particular instance that I would like to share with you right now. About 5.5 years ago, my husband passed away unexpectedly and moved on, transitioned. And this is not about that, because that's a whole different story. This is about 2 years ago. I woke up one morning and realized that it was time to make some changes, look at some things differently. Just open my heart is really what it was all about. Reopen my heart. And I did. I did treatment, and I really looked at what do I want in this next phase of my life? What am I looking for? And I knew that I wanted a person that I could share my belief system with, that I could share my life with, on a particularly spiritual level, not just a materialistic level, but at a very deep spiritual level. And I did my treatment, and I put out, you know, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I know is coming to me, and did all the things of, you know, the basic things that I like to do and things that I enjoy, travel and all of these things. And 2 months later, I did this about right about this time of the year. About 2 months later, I was scheduled to go on a trip with some friends to France. And this was actually the trip happened 4 weeks, about 4 weeks after the terrorist attacks. And when the terrorist attacks occurred, everyone that I knew said to me, oh, you're not certainly not going to go now. Certainly not going to do that. And I said, well, of course I'm going to go now. That doesn't change anything. It hasn't changed anything. I felt compelled to go. My friends were telling me, and even before this, it was that really wasn't high on my bucket list to go to France. It wasn't one of the places that was high on my list. But there was just a compelling urge, if you will. It was in my heart. It was in my soul. It was in my gut. And I've always known that when you feel something that strongly in your gut, and when things work smoothly, always go with that. Always go with that, because that's what we're all about. We have that knowing inside of us, that spirit speaking to us and telling us, go through, I'm leading the way and I'm opening it up so that it's easy for you. So I went on the trip and I met who is now my husband, Rick Fillingham. We both just were at a place where we were open to one another. We were with a group. It was a non-stressful situation because there was no intent of any kind of, you know, dating or any of that stuff. It was just people getting together and enjoying life and having fun and enjoying this trip. And we did, and it was a wonderful trip. So what I'm saying here is, when you get these urges, when you get these feelings, they're there for a reason. Follow through with it. Follow your heart. Follow your gut. It will never, ever lead you astray. Absolutely, that is spirit speaking to you. And I found the man of my dreams, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man, and we both have the same belief system and love the same things, and I thank spirit every single day when I wake up first thing and every night when I go to sleep. So that's my story. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, it's almost a year, right? Yay. All right. Yay, they've made it a year. Woo, best year ever. Thank you. So Jackie is absolutely right. We're all practitioners because we're practicers of the science of mind. So we are practitioners in our own life. And I'm being part of Science of Mind, I've been in this philosophy for many, many years. And this year we decided as a congregation that we would use the Centers for Spiritual Living, their theme for the year, which is creating a wonderful life. And this week's topic is your life isn't for you. Well, now you are awake. Yay! Your life isn't, we're good, right? Do I need to move anywhere? No, we're all good. Everything's good. Okay. What I want to change that title to is Your Life Matters. Because we're all connected, that our life isn't just about us, because everything we do, it's that ripple out into the universe, and we're all connected. So the more we love ourselves and the more we step up to the plate and live our dreams, the more we are supporting the universe. And part of that is becoming fully conscious of who we are and what we want. Just like Jackie deciding, you know what, I want to open my heart, I want to be in a relationship, designing and putting that out there. It's like, okay, here's the feeling I want. Here's what I'd love to have. And then just getting busy in one's life. I remember many years ago, my sister was engaged to someone and he was in the Navy and he went out on Westpac and he came back. She scrimped and did not buy much of anything, just, you know, eating beans from a can is what I'm picturing her, just doing nothing so that she could save up for the wedding and the dress, and she had the dress, and she's ready for this marriage, and he comes back from Westpac, and he says, I met somebody on the boat, and I think we're done, and she's like, oh, no, now what do I do? Should I put an ad out there that says, have dress, will marry? I'm like, you could, or you could just get busy in your life, just loving yourself and doing the things that you always wanted to do. Like, she always wanted to join Toastmasters, and I said, why don't you go ahead? There's just one down the street. Just join the Toastmasters. She met the man of her dreams there. So it's when we treat, and then we just move our feet and get busy in our life, knowing that it's already showing up, that I don't have to make anything happen. I just get to make it welcome. Make it welcome, whatever it is that you're wanting. Not putting up the blocks, but being in that space of, it's welcome, I'm ready. Knowing that it's the best day ever, and just being in that wonderful allowing space where we're not blocking it. And you may think, well, how do we block it? Well, we block it when we haven't forgiven people and we've got those barriers of unforgiveness because we're holding on to too much stuff. So forgiving people, using the F word, forgiveness. We get to use it today. There was a minister at a congregation, and he said, how many of you have somebody that you need to forgive? And everyone raised their hand except for this one little lady in the front row. And she was about 90, and he's like, you've forgiven everyone on this earth? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, how'd you do that? I just outlived all the old biddies. Well, we could do that. Or we could go forth and give up holding any anger, resentment towards anyone. And even if we just do the forgiveness in mind, it's that ripple that goes out there to the universe. How many of you saw the movie What the Bleep? Came out in the 90s. Yeah, great movie. And if you haven't seen it, we will have a movie night because it's one of my favorites. It's a lot of quantum physics, and I've watched it many, many times. When it first came out, I have four wonderful children. My two older ones had already graduated and out doing their thing, and my two younger ones were still at home. And we were deciding where we were going to move and what we were going to do, and this movie came out, and we were in Denver going to the Mile High Center. And huge, beautiful center. We decided we'd go to the movie. We loved it so much. And these are just teenagers, my kids, raised in this philosophy. And they said, could we go again? Yeah, let's do it right now. So we went away again. And it's like, could we just have a discussion group afterwards? And the next day we went to church. And then a bunch of people were talking about it. So a whole group of us went. It is a wonderful, wonderful movie about the connectedness of everything and the connectedness of every cell in our body. Nothing here is solid. Everything is vibrating and moving, including us, every energy, every molecule. And we are gravitating to us certain things based on our emotions, based on our thoughts, based on our beliefs. And as we have these thoughts, which are things, and we have these emotions, then we create belief systems. And many times we keep recreating the same thing over over and over. Anybody ever do that, or is it just me? It's like, must I keep running into the same wall? It's like one of those little wind-up toys, and you keep running into the same wall, and it's like, oh, could I just stop that? Part of that comes with forgiving ourselves, making a blueprint, because before this beautiful building was designed, it was a thought in mind, and then they get some architects and make a blueprint. It's the same things with our life. Having that thought in mind and then making a blueprint to step into the picture and then acting as if it's already done. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this teaching, says in The Science of Mind, we should allow the gifts of life to flow out to everything we touch, everyone we meet, and every situation we contact. Then, wherever we go, every situation is blessed. Every person is helped. Every discord is harmonized without our even being conscious of it. And one of my favorite parts in What the Bleep is when Joe Dispenza was sitting and he was talking about how he would just wake up in the morning and do his meditation, and he would have a conscious idea of how he wanted the day to unfold. And he said, then I would just step out into the world and just watch it unfold. It's like, how beautiful is that? Yet sometimes we just get so busy, doing, that we forget to become conscious of what it is that we're wanting and conscious of our thoughts. And when we're sending love out there to the world, it can't help but come right back. So sending that love out there and healing and forgiving everyone and everything, including ourselves, which sometimes can be the challenge because we know the good, the bad, the ugly of everything we've done. We always get to live with ourselves. And so putting that down and being at that space of love and then loving everyone, knowing that if they knew better, they would do better. Because if I was in somebody's situation, I do not know if I would have handled it as well. And yet in What the Bleep, they talk about all these different possibilities, that everything's happening at once and all these different possibilities in every moment. Yet this right here, this moment, we have decided to be conscious of where we are right now because this was the best decision. So wherever you are is like the best decision. It gets, you know, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? Because it gets so deep that it's like, what? Let me watch that again. Let me understand that more. And that's the brilliance of everything here in this universe, is that we're all still discovering, we're all still learning about life and about things. And the one thing that we do know in this teaching is that our thoughts are things. Our thoughts are creating our reality. So we want to be mindful and conscious of that which we're putting in our whole being and in our awareness. And are we seeing the glass half empty or half full? And are we being mindful of what we put in our consciousness? I was really interested in what Leah Rimes was saying about Scientology. Anybody watch any of these documentaries? I'm watching it and I find myself getting mad. It's like, oh, wow, because religion, spirituality is so sacred, and to put a perversion on it that some teachings may have done in my thought, yet I'm knowing all is right and divine in the world. So what I found is that, all right, I got to turn that off and let me focus on what I am wanting. Because if I find that I'm having anger inside of my body, then that's going to be projected out there. And because each one of us and every thought, every emotion is so incredibly important. Which takes me back to the 100th monkey. I know many of you know the story of the 100th monkey and why I love it so much, because it just impacts my life. Ken Keyes wrote a book called The 100th Monkey many years ago. It was back in the 70s. Some people dispute it. I don't care. I like it. It works for me. Greatest thing about this teaching, take what you love, leave the rest. And in this book, The 100th Monkey, he talks about how scientists on this remote island rolling out sweet potatoes to the little monkeys, and one of the potatoes went into the water. And the little monkey realized if it doesn't have the sand on it, it tastes, I'm figuring out because I'm connected to the monkey. He's thinking, without the sand on it, it tastes so much better. So he's telling his little monkey friends and his little monkey family, and finally when it hits the critical mass, or the 100th monkey, all of a sudden there's a shift in the universe, and all the monkeys on all the islands are washing off their sweet potatoes because we're all connected. And they find that in so many different things. I know that Malcolm wrote about it in The Tipping Point, that it's like when you get X amount of people thinking in a certain way, suddenly there's shifts. So it's getting enough of us thinking the right way and thinking the right way. Every way is the right way, right? According to ourselves. But thinking in a way of love and peace and harmony and goodness, the more of us thinking that, then we hit that critical mass or the 100th monkey. Monkey see, monkey do, the 100th monkey could be you. It's a wonderful song that was written back back in the 90s. So being really conscious of what we're thinking about and knowing that every thought, because we're all connected, spirals out there. So incredibly important. So I was looking at everything going on in the world. I remember when I was in high school, we used to drive out into the country and we'd all lay on the top of the car and we'd look at the stars and we'd contemplate life. And it's like when somebody's really angry, that was always our biggest question. When somebody's really angry, where does all that energy go? And for me, I really feel like it goes into the earth and into the atmosphere and into the weather and all the craziness that's going on because all of the anger, this is just my concept of it. And yet, their emotions and thoughts are things, so out there doing stuff. So I was sitting in meditation thinking, with everything that's going on, what is mine to do? Which is the question to ask. What is mine to do? I thought, okay, meditation. So I'm going to do a meditation workshop on Saturday, getting enough people sitting in a space of peace and love and meditating on world peace and harmony and everything just calming down. I've called a few of my other friends throughout the United States. Hey, why don't you do it the same time I'm doing it so that we have more people visualizing peace, love, harmony. And the most important thing always comes back to us. Am I calming myself down? Am I seeing the good? Or am I looking at the negative? And when we get into that space of training our thoughts, because it's not natural for us to think good things all the time. I remember Wayne Dyer used to say, go to an airport, watch a 747 unload, and think of something positive to say about everyone. Get in the space of being a good finder. And asking yourself that question every day, am I finding the good in everything I see? Or am I looking for the negative? Oh, let me just see that little, oh, you look good except for that little thing right there. You know, sometimes we get into that and the world has kind of taught us that with the ads that are out there. Oh, you might look good, but you don't smell good. Oh, you know, all the advertisements are out there trying to say lack and limitation. So not looking at those, but looking at the perfection of everyone in front of you, looking at the perfection of yourself, being at that space of love. So part of that starts with forgiveness, and the more we release anything that doesn't serve us, the better it is. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does change the future. And so when we're forgiving others and forgiving ourselves, because if we attack ourselves, and I hear people do it all the time, it's like an attack on themselves. Oh, yeah, I did this and this, and it was so crazy. So putting that down and start speaking nicely about yourself. Because when you attack yourself, you attack the world. When you love yourself, you love the world. So if nothing else resonates today, let that resonate. What wonderful things am I saying about myself? And am I taking in the goodness? I know I've said before, if somebody gives you a compliment, there are only just a few correct answers. When they say, oh, you look fabulous, thank you. Thank you for noticing, or I know, right? So finding really the goodness in yourself and in others and putting down anything that doesn't serve you. when we give up, when we forgive, then we give up holding on to anything that is blocking our flow. Real giving is in the art of transmitting ourselves to others and to the conditions and situations that surround us. That kind of giving is not something for special occasions only. It should come from a habit growing within our desire to be more and to live the fullest life ever. So when we get in that place of giving up, holding on to anything, we go forth and give love, give peace, give joy, give compliments. See how many you can give every day. Let that be a goal. Just as life belongs to the one who lives it, to the one who takes it, so the fuller life belongs only to the one who scatters every good they have. Scatter good. Get out there. Let's be good scatterers. It is by giving oneself to everyone, every project, and every association with zest, love, and friendliness. The one that sees the larger possibilities in all things. Could you imagine that? This is one of the things Ernest Holmes says in The Science of Mind 365. Just as life belongs to the one who lives it, to the one who takes it, so the fuller life belongs only to the scatterers of every good thing they have. Could you imagine people just scattering goodness and giving their full self to everything they did? Just like Andrew sang that song so beautifully, it's like he was given everything he had. He just left it all out here on the stage. Could you imagine if everybody was just given that way in life, everything that they did? So beautiful, so amazing. And then life continues to come back with the goodness that's happening. How we treat the whole world, determines how we live individually. We cannot poison our families and expect to have happy family lives. We cannot poison our planet and expect to have happy, healthy, physical lives. Our lives are for the one, not merely for us. If we want to be treated kindly, if we want to be loved, we must love. If we want to be treated kindly, we must treat others with kindness. So as we give, we always receive, and the more we can get out there and see the divinity in not only each other, but also in ourselves, then that's what life is all about. We have the peace on earth. Everybody's living to the next level. I remember when Oprah Winfrey first started her talk show, she had several people on there that had great, wonderful feats of forgiveness. You know, people that would come on and say, oh, I lived in this horrific life where life was just not going very well because I had an abusive father, abusive mother, whatever it was. And she had Tyler Perry on, and he was talking about his abusive father. And how when he grew up, he was using all the anger that he had to move him forward. And then he said when he finally put down the anger, that's when everything started showing up. Tyler Perry has done many shows. He does all the Madea, mad woman kind of shows. So he always plays the woman in it, dresses up like a woman. And he's fantastic, a fantastic writer. But it wasn't until he put down the anger was he able to move forward. Same thing with so many people like Elizabeth Barrett, who married Robert Browning, Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She had a very abusive family, and she married Robert Browning, and they moved away, far away from her family. And she would write these wonderful letters to her family. Please forgive me, I love you. Amazing letters. And after her parents died, she received a box that had all of the letters unopened. Yeah. So she took all of that great writing, and now it's wonderful writing for all of us to get to share. So taking that space of anything that's ever happened, it's like it's in the past, it's done, it's over. So let me step into the future. Let me let go of anything that's blocking my flow. Let me have forgiveness for each and every person. Let me not step into a story of negativity of the past, because the past is the past. When my kids were first, we were into this teaching and they were little, they'd hit each other and say, let it go, it's in the past. Let it go, it's in the past. So it's like letting it go, it's in the past. Let's move forward. Don't do that to each other. But so it's like let it go, it's a practice, you know. Let it go, it's in the past. So the charge to you this week is to scatter that goodness, that love. Come out on the playing field and do like Andrew did. Just lay it all out there in everything you do. Just give, give, give to yourself and to others, because we're all part of that wonderful whole. So let's take the love, the energy, the brilliance of this room, and let's go inside our heart of hearts as we just breathe in the fullness of life, continuing to let go of anything that does not serve us. Knowing that life is good 24/7, 365, that spirit is in, as, and through each and every one of us, that good stuff, that God stuff, that energy of the universe flows and fills every cell in our beings. It is that which breathes us. Knowing that we are all connected, that what happens to one happens to all. Your story is my story. It fills my life with love and glory. Your story is my story, moving on. Knowing that as we have a richer, more beautiful, amazing story, as we see the goodness in life, being a good finder, that we see the good, that we stop any thought that isn't going in the right direction, move it to the direction of our dreams.